In it, what we're seeing is that specifically they're giving the police the power to target movements, for instance, like Black Lives Matter, tactics used by them, Extinction Rebellion, Palestine Action, and others. So it's very concerning what they're doing, and of course this is bringing a lot of criticism.
It sure is. Robert Inlakesh with those stories. Robert, thank you. And that does it for this broadcast. Goodbye.
In the limelight.
If Biden chooses to stay, every dead soldier, every family broken, and every opportunity wasted to build back better at home will rest on his shoulders and taint his legacy, says Brett Wilkins, writer in an article published under the heading, Calls Grow for Biden to Fully Withdraw U.S. Troops from Afghanistan by May the 1st. President Joe Biden mulls missing the 1st of May deadline for withdrawing U.S. troops from Afghanistan. He faces growing calls from voices across the political spectrum to stick to the date set by his predecessor, Donald Trump, and end the longest war in American history. Last week, Joe Biden told ABC News that it would be tough for the United States to meet the 1st of May withdrawal deadline set last February during negotiations between the administration of former President Donald Trump and the Taliban. We're in consultation with our allies as well as the government, and that decision is in process now, Biden said, adding that if the United States pullout was delayed, it would be by a lot longer. The president also criticized the agreement between the Trump administration and the Taliban as not a very solidly negotiated deal. While critics have warned that the deal won't remove all American forces from the war-torn nation and that the airstrikes and other operations could continue, the agreement is the closest the United States has come to ending a conflict that has now spanned four presidential administrations and multiple generations over almost the entire 21st century. The day after Joe Biden's ABC interview, Representative Barbara Lee, a Democrat from California, the only member of Congress to vote against the 2001 authorization of the Afghanistan war, and Ken Buck, a Republican from Colorado, sent a letter to the president urging him to adhere to the deadline. We believe that a decision to extend the military mission beyond the withdrawal deadline of 1st of May will put U.S. troops at increased and unnecessary risk and fail to advance the goals of peace and justice in Afghanistan, they wrote. The war in Afghanistan, the longest war in U.S. history, has cost thousands of lives and billions of dollars. The lawmakers' concerns have been widely echoed by expert observers. As Deirdre Schiesgreen noted last week in USA Today, the war has cost the lives of at least 38,000 Afghan civilians, more than 2,300 American troops, and over $2 trillion, with a general consensus among military and other experts that there is no path to U.S. victory.
Thank you.
In a separate opinion piece published on Tuesday in USA Today, Bonnie Christian, a fellow at the libertarian-leaning think tank Defense Priorities, wrote that the United States' withdrawal from Afghanistan will never be smooth, but keeping this deal is the best foreseeable option. It stands the greatest chance of retaining some degree of Taliban cooperation, argued Christian. It gives President Biden a unique political opportunity, and crucially, it extricates the United States from a disastrously counterproductive intervention that will never succeed. If the Biden administration jettisons the 1st of May agreement, the Taliban will use that betrayal to justify more violence, chaos, and perhaps even total rejection of diplomacy, she added. It is no exaggeration to say cancelling this deadline could lead to a U.S. presence in Afghanistan essentially unchanged or even expanded by the end of Biden's term in office. This is not an acceptable risk, which means 1st of May is our date to bring all our troops home. Taking issue with a report published last month by the congressionally mandated Afghanistan Study Group, which recommended leaving U.S. troops in Afghanistan after the 1st of May deadline, Weinstein asserted that the unilateral decision to blow past the 1st of May withdrawal deadline will destroy an already beleaguered peace process, and Washington will find itself drawn back into a violent counterinsurgency. It will annul the U.S.-Taliban agreement, which, despite its flaws and failure to bring peace to Afghans, led to a year without a single U.S. combat death, and leaves President Biden to once again await American caskets at Dover Air Force Base, he wrote. If Biden chooses to stay, every dead soldier, every family broken, and every opportunity wasted to build back better at home will rest on his shoulders and taint his legacy, Weinstein concluded. America's endless war in Afghanistan will become Biden's war. The women-led peace group Code Pink put it more succinctly, tweeting recently that you can't bomb for peace.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids? That is, from the very beginning of the birth.
I have a little son. and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are mostly based upon the book, Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. We have in the studio our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. Salaamu alaikum, Brother Miqdad. How are you?
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
Brother Miqdad, one of our listeners has a question. She asked, how do I teach my eldest son, who is 9, to take care of his younger sister, who is 4? I feel that he's always doing his own things and not watching out others. So what do you suggest this mother to do? So she feels that her child is growing up and now eldest son needs to take care of the other things as well.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So it's an interesting question. Let me mention a couple of points. First and foremost, it's important to realize that taking care of others and watching out for others is something that is actually a burden for the human being. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not an easy thing, and it's not something that comes very naturally in most of us.
Yeah.
Right? It actually requires us to think about it and to realize the importance of it. And it's often a burden.
Yeah.
It's often heavy, right? And for children who are busy playing, who are busy having fun, mm-hmm. to take care of others and to watch out for others is actually a hindrance to their fun and play.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually heavy for them,
mm-hmm.
because it adds a responsibility for them, right? Mm-hmm. And as naturally, we don't like taking up responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to realize that our level of expectation for a 9-year-old should be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
That 9-year-olds are not going to take care of their sister or brother. And to expect them to do so is beyond realistic. And it can actually have a negative consequence on them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can lead to hatred, it can lead to frustration.
Yeah.
It's not the right thing to do to impose on them
mm-hmm.
the watching out and caring for their
mm-hmm.
siblings, basically, mm-hmm. right? Parents should do their own responsibility and play the role of parents and ensure that nothing dangerous happens. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, obviously, you slowly want to create this
mm-hmm.
feeling in a child
yeah.
From the age of 9 onwards, and you want them to be of that kind of personality that
mm-hmm.
they are caring towards others, watching out for others, ready to take up this responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But the way to do this is not by imposing upon them,
mm-hmm.
because it'll just create hatred towards
yeah.
it. It'll just create a negative feeling towards it. You want to slowly grow them into this understanding that it is actually an important responsibility,
mm-hmm.
a noble responsibility
yeah.
to have. And unfortunately, not many of us have, but those who have, you can tell that these people are noble people.
Mm-hmm.
They are ready to sacrifice their own fun and time, etc., to look out for others,
yeah,
to
yeah.
Watch out for others, and to help others
mm-hmm.
In different spheres.
So, keeping the age of the brother and the sister in mind, so I don't think it's really a thing to worry about. Brother not watching out his sister. So I don't think it's really a thing to worry about. So rather, do you suggest that right now is the time that mother watches out after her children?
Yes, so I don't think it's something to worry about. I wouldn't say that a child has an issue or a particular deficiency because he's not taking care or watching out for his sister. And from now on, slowly, we do want to talk about how to slowly ingrain this
mm-hmm.
responsibility
yeah.
in a child, inshallah.
Thank you so much, Brother Baghdad, and dear audience, stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5 years old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. English Radio at irib.ir.
Welcome back to your audience. You're listening to Islamic upbringing from IRIB English Radio. And keeping the question in mind, we're discussing that is it really a thing to worry about that the brother is not watching out after her sister? So, Brother Mubarak, please continue.
So, one of the things that happens is that when a child has a lot of respect for their mom or their dad, when they see their mom and dad watching out for their young children and taking care of them, they naturally feel of doing the same, right? This is a very natural thing. I don't know if you've seen this. Children from the very young age, from the age of 3, 4, they play this game called mommy and daddy, right? One of them becomes a mom and mom becomes a dad, or one of them becomes a mom and one becomes a child. Yeah. And they practice taking care of one another, right? Yeah. So you see in this game, one child pretends to cry because she's the baby or he's the baby, and the other child comes and consoles them and takes care of them. So this naturally happens, and you'll find that this, as children grow, in turn 7, 8, 9, if they've seen their parents do this, then they will naturally, very slowly, build this idea and this image in their mind that this is how I ought to be as well. That if I'm going to be responsible, then I'm going to be like this. So they need to watch their parents, and so parents need to show them how it's done practically without saying it. Right. The best places to do so is when you go on camping trips or traveling together, right? Or you're out of the normal routine. And this is where parents need to tell the children, for example, we need to walk this way, don't do this, this could be dangerous. You can play over here, but it's the first time we've come over here, so let's explore how it is. They're actually showing the child, asking the child, for example, are you okay? How are you feeling about this? When they do this with both the children, the eldest one will realize, oh, this is how it's done, basically. This is what I can see my parents do this. And then slowly, slowly, when the parents actually takes a step back and removes themselves from the picture very gently, the eldest son will naturally take up this position because they've seen it. It's something that they've actually witnessed and experienced. So I've seen this in families where the younger child is actually quite... others would say mature, right? But rather than being mature, it's just copying what the dad or the mom does, basically, in asking the younger siblings, are you okay? Can I help you? Watching out for them. They've got a sense of caringness and a sense of watching out for others, built on the fact that they've seen their parents do so.
So basically, children learn these characteristics from their parents.
That's correct.
So thanks so much, Brother Baghdad. Dear audience, it's time for a short break. We'll be right back after a short break.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back to your audience. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing from IRIB English Radio. And we were discussing with Brother Meghdad that the children learn certain characteristics from their parents, like watching out for their younger siblings. They learn it from their parents. So, Brother Meghdad, please continue.
Another way to actually slowly ingrain this attitude is to make the child feel responsible, right? Either by giving him a title of being a leader. For example, when you go on an activity or on a camping trip, he's the leader of the group, for example. Or by giving him a responsibility, an official term that you're responsible for this. Making it as an important role that goes back to self-importance and self-respect, that you are able to do so, therefore you have become responsible for this particular act, whether it's, for example, making sure that your sister has eaten her lunch, for example, etc. This actually makes the child feel very important. And because of that, the child is going to put all their effort towards this responsibility and ensure that this happens. Now, this is very, very good and perhaps one of the really good ways to create this feeling. However, we have to be very careful to ensure that the responsibility we're giving to the child is something that the child can and is able to do and able to carry out. Sometimes we give more than is expected, and then the failure will actually make it worse for the child. So on one side, you've given them the responsibility that they are able to do so, and it doesn't feel too heavy, and the child is capable of fulfilling this task. And at the same time, you've also taught the child how to do so. This is very important as well. Sometimes you make a child the leader of the group, okay, and you tell them, okay, it's your responsibility to lead this group to a particular place, but you haven't taught them how to do so. You haven't taught them how to use a map. You haven't taught them all the different signs that are available out there, the signal posts, etc. And this leads to a failure because they don't have the tools in their in their hands. So whilst you give them a responsibility that they are able to act upon, you also teach them the different tools. And you make it very clear that what are the duties and responsibility that, that this leader has to do.
Yeah, so over here, the mother knows it very well what their children can do or what they cannot do. So the mother should have this in mind and, you know, give them the task according to that.
Definitely. They say when you sign a contract, you make it very clear what it entails, right? What are the different responsibility that the child should do because now he's a leader or because he's in charge of this particular act. So if we do this, then what happens is that the child slowly, slowly fulfills this responsibility in the best of ways. And obviously parents encourage, parents give them that confidence. And this sense of success, this sense of achievement actually creates this feeling in the child that they're able to bear this responsibility. After this, naturally, without the need to actually then make it official thing that you're responsible for this particular short time period that we're in the camp, for example, we're a two-day trip, then naturally it will come naturally for the child, basically, to be able to look out for others, watch out for others, take care, help out. This is really, it will come naturally, basically, because they've got this sense of self-importance and they realize that they're in a position where they can help others. And helping others is something that we actually enjoy. There's a sense of achievement in that.
So thank you so much, Brother Meghdad. And I'm really sorry, dear audience, the time's up. So inshallah, we'll continue this in the next show. So in this program, we're discussing how an elder brother can watch out for her younger sister. So we said different ways that children basically learn these type of characteristics from their mothers. So thank you so much, dear audience, for joining us on the program. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, farstoday.com. Until the next program, fi amanullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us ponder on a short but sweet saying from our expected savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, concerning right and truth on the threshold of his birthday anniversary. Indeed, right is with us and in us, and nobody else would claim that but a liar and an impostor.
IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Welcome to the lighter side of the news. It's great to have you with us. Artificial intelligence is fast growing and already touching many aspects of our daily lives. And now, a humanoid robot becomes the world's first machine artist to ever auction its own digital artwork. What is this world coming to? The robot called Sophia sold the artwork, which was in the form of a non-fungible token, for nearly $700,000. Sophia, who was unveiled in 2016 by a Hong Kong-based company, produced her art in collaboration with Italian digital artist Andrea Bonassetto. The artwork is a 12-second MP4 file showing the evolution of Bonassetto's portrait into Sophia's digital painting.
So, thank you very much for joining with me and supporting me today. The virtual, the real, the imaginal, and the literal. This kind of spirit of creativity and technology working together gives me hope that we can solve anything.
And we've been exploring Sophia's creativity on the side, but we really have been developing her as a platform and as a character more than as a work of fine art.
Since her activation, Sophia has achieved widespread appeal due to her unsettling human-like appearance, compounded with the complex ability to express emotions. She has appeared on talk shows and spoken at conferences about issues ranging from artificial intelligence to the role of robots. Hansen Company says Sophia now has simulations of every major muscle in the human face and can generate multiple expressions such as joy, grief, curiosity, and frustration.
Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to enjoy the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Meguro River to see stunning cherry trees in full blossom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital were also cancelled. A new study has revealed that octopuses probably dream while sleeping just as humans do. Scientists in Brazil believe that the eight-legged animals experience two sleeping phases, active and quiet. During the active stage, the octopus's skin color changes. They also move their eyes and twitch their bodies. According to the study, they might have short dreams in this period. To do their research, scientists observed four octopuses while they were sleeping in the lab. Mammals, birds, and some reptiles also experience a two-phase sleep cycle. Many people have experienced the healing power of music. Now, a violinist in Brazil has taken advantage of the popular idea to spread joy and calm in COVID-hit hospitals. Cristiano has volunteered to play the violin for patients and health workers in Rio de Janeiro. According to the violinist, music should be played in all hospitals as it renews hope and eases stress. He says people are more isolated during the coronavirus pandemic, so they need music more than ever to stay motivated. Experts believe music therapy can also reduce heart rate and blood pressure.
A successful treasure hunt in China, archaeologists have made valuable finds in the country's southwestern Sichuan province. Researchers excavating the Shaanxi Zhu ruins have made new discoveries that help shed light on the eventful Chinese history. Some of the artifacts unearthed date back to over 3,000 years ago. Some of the most interesting objects include a 70-centimeter-long bronze ware and a Savonia gold mask. More precious remains could be found there, as only 2% of the site has been excavated so far. In the latest round, over 500 artifacts were found. An Egyptian engineer has designed a robot to help frontline doctors do their life-saving work with more safety.
This robot is especially designed to help the medical staff during COVID-19 times. It is a medical robot capable of multitasks. It can deal with patients in their beds and help with chest scans, fever screening, and face mask detection.
Mahmoud's prototype robot is remote controlled. It can carry out PCR swab tests without causing pain. The robot is being tested in a private hospital for now, where it receives training to improve its artificial intelligence. Doctors say the ingenious invention has proven very useful so far, as it minimizes exposure to the virus. This Californian surfer is not famous for his surfing skills, but for his very special company on a surfboard, Pismo the Goat. The 80-year-old goat seems to be enjoying the waves a lot, even the very large ones. Dana McGregor, also known as the Goat Surfer, says he uses the experience for teaching children how to surf. He says riding with a goat on a surfboard has calming effects and will make children less scared of the sea and the waves. His students also describe the experience as fun and pleasant. McGregor started his goat surfing journey 10 years ago. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear about a volcanic eruption in your vicinity? Of course, fear, chaos, or probably a plan to flee. But that is not the case with Icelanders. Thousands of curious onlookers flocked to an erupting volcano to marvel at the hypnotic display of glowing red lava. Iceland's Mount Fagradalsfjall began erupting late Friday after almost 900 years. Its lava bubbles and spurts from a small cone in a valley who has seen piling up in a basin. It was a joyous moment for Icelanders, who are usually exhausted with chilly weather. Access to the site was blocked initially, but authorities then lifted the roadblocks under strict guidelines. The bravest of the onlookers found grilling hot dogs and marshmallows over the smoldering ashes. A Ukrainian fisherman saves the day with his biggest catch by fishing out an 11-year-old boy from an icy river. The boy said he didn't know how to swim and had drifted some 20 meters away from the shore on an ice floe while playing with his schoolmates. The fisherman threw his spinning rod to the boy and then reeled him in. Fortunately, the incident was noticed by two other men who were fishing nearby and came to help pull the boy from the water. The dramatic moment and the daring rescue from the Desenka River in Kyiv on Sunday was filmed by a fisherman and went viral on social media. And Japanese usually flock to natural reservoirs and parks during the cherry blossom season, which starts with the arrival of spring. But this year is a bit different, as coronavirus restrictions deter many to attend such festive gatherings. Flower viewing parties have been banned as the country is slowly reemerging from a strict 10-week lockdown. Still, people are defying restrictions not to miss the floral spectacular, but of course with masks and at designated areas. Hanami, or cherry blossom viewing, is an old Japanese tradition. In normal years, the appearance of the delicate pink flowers is the cue for families and friends to spread out picnic blankets on the cherry trees. Each year, it also draws many tourists from all over the world. A Colombian pianist has proved that animals enjoy music just like humans do. Mario Fernando Prado has created a relaxing atmosphere in a zoo in northern Colombia. He plays some of the world's most famous classical songs for animals. He believes that music brings peace and calm to any animal, from lions to flamingos. Zoo officials say the initiative is a wonderful experience for both animals and visitors. Of course, that's not the first time Prado does so. He has played the piano for animals in different places in the past. Now, the coronavirus may have shut down many social activities in India, but it can never stop the festive spirit of spring. This year, like previous ones, Indians are making preparations for the upcoming Holi festival, which starts on March 28th this year. This spectacular ritual runs for 2 days and is the second biggest festival on the Hindu calendar. When Holi arrives, people play with colors and try delicious local food. The celebration signifies the triumph of good over evil and is marked as a day of spreading happiness and love. Holi is also known as the festival of love and colors. Taking care of one's dental health is an absolute must, no matter humans or animals. A 14-year-old Siberian tiger has undergone a dental operation in a French zoo. The dentist took good care of the animal and even administered eye drops so that his eyes would not go dry during the procedure. Baikal broke his fangs 7 years ago while playing around, prompting the zoo owners to have her tooth revitalized and filled. The operation was successful, and the playful cat is now enjoying a brand new fang. That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's Special for You, we present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the awaited hope for humanity. First, what date is today? Today, Saturday, is the 13th of Shaban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter Ibrahim from the Holy Quran, verse 5.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْ أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ.
And we certainly sent Moses with our signs, saying, Bring out your people from darknesses into the light and remind them of the days of Allah. Indeed, in that are signs for everyone patient and grateful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Each day, which marks the beginning of a new chapter and provides an instructive lesson for man and has witnessed the emergence or the uprising of a prophet or has witnessed the downfall of an unruly despot or pharaoh, is considered as the Day of Allah. A tradition quoted from Imam Baqir alayhi salam indicates that he remarked, The days of Allah refer to the day on which the uprising of the promised Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, takes place, and to the day of return to life as well as the resurrection day.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum in kuntum mu'minin. Wa ma
Imam al-Mahdi, the awaited hope for humanity. The belief in the Savior is not only an essential doctrine deep-rooted in Islamic faith, it is rather an embodiment of human nature, regardless of one's religious affiliations. For it is the universal desire of humans as a whole to try to achieve or at least witness the realization of the ultimate objective or their existence through which they will achieve perfection and social happiness in its entirety. Therefore, by reason of inner necessity and inspiration, humans will see a day when society will be replete with justice. More importantly, from a religious perspective, the concept of Savior is the culmination of human struggle in their path towards Allah the Almighty. It is when the true justice will be established through human hands, but with divine succor resulting in the prevalence of truth over falsehood and all its offshoots. Allah The Almighty says in the Holy Quran, chapter 17, verse 81, and say, truth has now arrived, and falsehood perished, for falsehood is by its nature bound to perish. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam al-Mahdi salamullah alayhi, as the 12th and the final infallible Imam in Islam, in whom we believe in Shiite Islam, has been the last and infallible Imam who is still alive, but in a state of occultation. What's important in this regard is that, I mean, the long life of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is no surprise. Throughout the history, for example, the Prophet Noah lived around 1,000 years. Or, for example, there are some other divine prophets who are believed that he be still alive. Or according to Islamic teachings, we believe that Jesus Christ is still alive. So the long life of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is no surprise. At the same time, we find that according to Islamic beliefs and Islamic articles of faith, we understand that it's necessary for the whole world that a divinely guided personality and teacher, instructor and mentor must be alive.
We're speaking about belief in Mahdi as a culture of optimism. More particularly in the school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, this whole tenet of our faith, namely Mahdaviya, is a culture of hope and being optimistic about the future. This is in complete contrast to some other trends of thought in mainstream Islam and other faith traditions which believe in the downfall or deterioration of earth. A hadith which is often quoted from Rasulullah, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, to back up this notion is where he is reported to have said that the best of centuries is his century and the best of people are the people of his time, Imam Mahdi's time. There are plenty of similar hadiths that is often referenced from both Sunni and Shia resources which suggest the Prophet of Allah warned that society will simply deteriorate over the generations. Our role as we wait for the Imam reappearance. So, what is our role? At the first step, we can shed lights on this role, purifying our hearts. One of the most important things we need to do during the period of occultation is to make our best effort to become the best people we can be. We cannot be receptive to the Imam, alayhi salam, if our hearts are not pure, we should at the very least do our best to stay away from committing sins. If our hearts are not sincere, we will not be worthy of our Imam's service, nor will he accept it from us if we are filled with sins and unable to receive his teachings. To be in the company of the Imam, we can take lessons from the companions of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Imam Hussein said, "I am not aware of any companions more faithful and honest than my companions."
يا حجة الله شكوانا إليه يا حجة الله شكوانا إليه أدركنا أدركنا لبيك لبيك.
Believing in Imam al-Mahdi means that you believe in a divine mandate, a promise that was made to prophets and messengers throughout the millennia. Believing in the Imam means that you believe that after centuries of chilling winters and scorching summers, spring is about to happen, which is why traditions refer to the Imam as As-salamu alayka ya Rabi' al-Anam, peace be upon you, O spring of all life forms, O spring of existence, O spring of humanity. And so, especially in the midst of this global terror and fear and hunger and disease, especially in the midst of all of this, it is critical that we remember and turn to God and His promised Messiah, the Imam of our time. A true Shia is one whose belief in the Imam is reflected in their lives. You might say, how? How are we supposed to translate that belief into action? And the answer to that, again, the very first step in that journey, in that direction, is that you believe him to be involved in your life. You believe in him to be supervising everything you do and say and think. You believe that he's part of your life, that you involve him in your decision making, right? That when you are thinking about how to plan your next move or your career or your study, your field of study, or who you're going to get married to, or what you're going to do, or where you're going to live, or all these decisions in your life, you involve the Imam and you think of what would please him and what would displease him. Right? At the very least, that belief, like I said, if you believe in Mars and you're about to get married to someone, you're well within your right to say, well, what does believing in Mars have anything to do with who I get married to? Right? But the problem, brothers and sisters, is that for most of us, our belief in the Imam is exactly the same. It's like, what has that got to do with anything? You know, if I want to choose this particular career path or that, if I want to choose to live in this world or that, how I choose to treat people around me, my husband, my wife, my parents, and my children, what has that got to do with the Imam of my time? But you see how that's so deeply flawed and mistaken and erroneous. Your belief in the Imam has to factor into every single decision that you make. Allahumma, Allahumma, li wali, al-Hujjat ibni al-Hasan.
Brothers and sisters, we reach to the end of this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for staying with us till now. And we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestion at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.